Hey.
Okay.
Hey. This is Scarlett, one of my best friends. Sorry, we're redoing the intro. I can't do something over again, honestly. Yeah. Like, I can't do it.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. This is Scarlett's and I's second time trying to do a podcast. I'm going to put some clips, insert clip here.
You're the one who has to keep it together. You.
Fuck. Okay, no, I won't do that. This is my show.
So that's why we couldn't really get our stuff together. We were really high on shrooms, and at that point, I wasn't ready to come forward with my drug use, so we weren't going to tell anyone.
There was a lot of stuff that I think was going to be cut out anyways.
Yeah. So. And then we also, one of the angles got deleted, so we just scrapped the whole thing. We really thought that was a good idea at the time. We thought this was going to make us like really
like you know, open the third eye, like just have let the conversation flow. We didn't actually speak for the first hour of it. We just stared at each other laughing and crying.
We were literally just like high off our ass, like literally just so warm, and like we thought we just like didn't, we completely forgot about that part of shrooms, which is where you're high and you don't want to talk. Yeah. And all you want to do is laugh. So that's kind of what happened to us for 3 hours.
It hit us and we're like, yeah, let's start this podcast now.
Yeah, not the best idea. And then I thought today, like, we were going to drink and Scarlett's sober, so.
Yeah, 4 days going strong.
How long is this sobriety going to last?
I don't know. It's just something I'm trying out.
Okay, why?
I don't know. I've just like never done it. Like, I feel like I've been like, especially like since the pandemic, like consistently drinking almost every day. Like every like thing I have to go to and somehow ends up involving alcohol. Mm-hmm. Like, you know this, like if you go to like an event or like hang out with friends, like the first thing you do is like, all right, let's grab a bottle of wine on the way or something.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, do I have control over this? Let's see.
I'm not a huge drinker myself, but, I'm gonna cut this out, but I teeter the line so much with how much I want to share with my drug use. This is the only subject that I don't know how much I want to share.
Yeah,
but I'm not a big drinker, so that's why I'm like confused, or that's why I'm interested in kind of other people's relationships to alcohol. And it's just fascinating. Also, alcohol hits people so much cooler than it hits me. Like, people really enjoy
people cooler.
Yeah, people like get to, people go crazy on alcohol and like get to be fun and wild and like let loose, and like that's what I think alcohol should do to people. It's kind of like give them this like
liquid courage.
Yeah, that's like what it's technically, like what the reputation of alcohol is, but it just doesn't do that for everyone.
Yeah. Do you feel like that doesn't do that for you?
No, it does. I feel like it has.
Like
in the past, when I was younger, I feel like alcohol hit me in a normal way. Mm-hmm. But and then some, I've tried different alcohols now. But I'm trying to, because I tried vodka and then I tried tequila because people said tequila was an upper. I think even you were part of that.
Yeah, I'm a big advocate on tequila being like the most fun drunk.
Yeah.
For like going out, if you want to like stay awake and stuff like that. Vodka, I feel like, can make you like, it makes me aggressive sometimes.
It does? Makes you aggressive?
Like, I think it just like heightens my emotions in a way that like, I'm not just like, oh, whatever, I don't care, like happy. Like sometimes I can like, if I drink enough vodka. Yeah, the only times I've ever really gotten like angry while drinking is like with vodka, I've realized. Yeah. And with someone who pisses me off. But you know, like it's like the combination of the two.
Interesting. That's interesting. It's interesting that people like literally get different like effects different from alcohol.
Drunks, yeah.
Because
whiskey.
See, I That's tried whiskey. One. That was Did the new like alcohol it? That I was trying. It doesn't, it's all the same. Well, that's not true. It's not all the same because wine, for instance, does get me slower. Like, it makes me kind of in a slower pace. And that's the one I will say, like, if I'm actually trying to get fucked up, like, wine will fuck me up. Because vodka, tequila, like, most hard alcohols I've tried, I feel like I act the exact same. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nothing's really changing this ship, unfortunately, and it sucks. No, it actually sucks. But, yeah. Alcohol is interesting for me.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm going to quickly introduce you. Scarlett is a model And how do you Scarlett is a model. She's one of my best friends. We've been best friends for 7 years, I think now. I've lived here for almost 8 years now.
Okay, so
actually,
yeah.
Pretty much like to the date. I met
you like pretty soon after you moved here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to say 4 to 5, 4 months after. Mm-hmm. 4 months after I moved here, I went to a party that my friend took me to. I don't want to say whose house it was. I don't want to say it.
Okay. That's not where we met.
That is where we met. On my
really?
Life. I think that's where we
I
met.
Felt like I thought like I knew you then. Or maybe we just like clicked because we were like,
I thought that's
I feel
where
like we
met.
Were like hanging out that whole night.
Wait, maybe. Or we could have met because I have two.
I thought we met at like Warwick.
I was about to say it could have been the night at Warwick, but I wasn't sure if that was after.
I'm not sure. It was like very soon. Friends. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe this was the night. So we met at Warwick.
Yeah.
When we were only 16, 17.
16 and 17.
Old. Yeah, literally. Yeah. I remember seeing Scarlett being like, this is like the prettiest girl I've ever seen in my life.
That's what I said too.
No, I don't even care, but that's not true.
No, I don't even care.
Scarlett is like strikingly beautiful with her hair, blonde hair to her waist. She's like, I say this all the time, Scarlett. She's like definition like that bitch. She is like she's like the blueprint of like a perfect person, like blonde. Like everything every girl wants to be. And everyone who watches this and bought Brandy Melville knows this and probably would agree. You're like a legend in like 2000 and like what even era was that?
That like
when
it
Brandy
was just
Melville
the Brandy
was
Melville
cool,
era.
When Brandy
yeah.
Melville was like cool,
that was a good era.
When Brandy Melville was cool, you were like the face of Brandy Melville, and that was probably what every single girl in America and Italy probably wanted to be. But I remember being like, oh my god, this girl is like the prettiest girl I've ever seen in my life. And then she ended up being like so nice. And then we've been best friends ever since. Yeah. Scarlett's one of the healthiest friendships I have. Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, I would say so.
Cool.
Like most consistent friend I've had.
What does consistent mean?
Like we've just consistently been good.
Friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we met at Warwick. I guess we met at Warwick, and then we met at this party for like the first time. This was or I guess we hung out for the first time,
and like really got,
and really got.
Yeah.
I don't even know because I remember that's the night I like met Christine Burke. I had food poisoning that day. This is so relevant. I had food poisoning that day,
and you were like, I'm not missing this opportunity.
It was like from bad tuna that I ate, and I was like literally throwing up, and I was like, I have to go. This was like my fourth month living in LA, and I was like, I have to go. This is so fun. And I'm glad that I went. But that's how Scarlett and I know each other, and that's Scarlett's answer. And Scarlett's a model, and she's the best. And yeah. So Scarlett recently got into a new relationship. Do you want to talk about it? I guess, like, is it I cut out shit all the time, but is it weird because you guys are fighting? Or are you
No, we're fine now. Okay. I don't know. I don't know how to talk about
this. You knew I was going to bring this up.
No, I knew. I didn't know it was going to be the first subject.
You know what made me think of it? It was just the alcohol thing.
Yeah. I knew we were going to talk. I mean, like, we've talked about this so much, but, like, I still don't know, like, how to talk about this because I haven't yet. You know what I mean?
Because you haven't talked about it yet?
I haven't talked about it yet. Like,
here's your platform.
No. I don't know.
Scarlett, I think that's something you have to say, otherwise people are going to think I'm offensive.
You are offensive.
Do you think you're offensive? I won't ask.
No. I'm just trying to think of, like, how I even, like...
We also don't have to talk. This is literally up to
no,
you.
No, I know.
Like,
no,
we,
I know.
Like...
We've talked about this. I don't know. I just, like, this bang energy drink bro. I'm, like,
you
shaking.
You're fine. This is, like, the least low-stakes thing ever.
I
say
know,
stupid
I just,
shit
I want a
all the time.
Tequila shot.
Why don't we drink?
No.
Why don't you start drinking tomorrow?
No. I can't.
I think you should.
No, I can't. Because then I'm just going to keep finding days that it makes sense for me to drink.
Well, the thing is this is a special day because this is going to be a timestamp in our friendship. You know what I mean? Would it say it again?
No faith.
Oh, I didn't know how long you wanted to stay sober for.
No.
I wasn't sure if you wanted to do like 2 weeks or like 8. Like, I don't know. I didn't assume it would be more than 2 weeks.
No. I mean, I'm okay. I'm chilling. I don't need it. Let's start over.
Okay. So Scarlett's in a new relationship now.
Yeah. Yeah.
The floor is yours.
I'm dating a girl. And you told me you were going to bring this up, but like, I also still don't know like what.
Elaborate to in say. any way you want. You can say if you're happy or whatever.
I'm happy.
How is it dating a girl?
It's great.
What are some of the differences? I was saying earlier, while you think about this, you know, like, so many girls, like, get into... I was saying this to Scarlett. Like, so many girls go, like, bi or, like, have, like, kind of gay phases. That's, like, kind of just, like, our generation, you know?
Yeah, there's definitely a spectrum.
We're, like, super open and super fluid for the most part, especially in, like, liberal cities where we live. Mm-hmm. But everyone... And for the most part, like, people can either, like, be, like, bi their whole lives or end up with a guy or end up with a girl, whatever. I was saying to Scarlett, I was like, I genuinely could see Scarlett just staying with girls forever. Like, you're like, yeah, one of, because I've had so many friends have like bi phases, but you're like one of probably the only friend of mine where I'm like, I think she might just be gay in the best way.
I think I might just be gay too. Yeah.
No, I love that. That's like, at the same time, I saw it coming, but I didn't see it coming. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt. Mm-hmm. I was like, somehow I myself didn't see it coming, but then I was like, oh. Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, a lot of things just, like, fell into place.
Yeah.
How we meet? Yeah. Our agents set us up. We're with the same agency. Mm-hmm. You know this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is a... Share what you want to share. You don't want to talk about it?
No, we could talk about it.
Do you want to talk... We can talk... Well, let's talk about something else, then.
I don't know. I think it's because we've already talked about all this that I'm like, I feel like I'm like telling other people instead of telling you.
Yeah, you
like,
but I do that all the time, you know, like, yeah. I literally just said a story I've said to you too on the podcast just now.
Yeah.
You can say that if you feel awkward. I say that too when I've repeated something. I'm like, I've said this before, but
yeah,
you know, you've said,
you also use it as an opportunity to improve your story. You're like, now I'm gonna find new details.
Yeah. Amen. Exactly.
Okay. What exactly am I supposed to say? Like, no, what? Like,
it's just expressing yourself. So there's no right or wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just like whatever expression comes out.
God, I have no expression right now. Okay. Yeah. So. Okay, yeah, I'm dating a girl.
Jesus. It's like you're doing a spelling bee or something.
I don't know why the pressure is on. I just haven't, like, talked about this. Like, I haven't, like, posted photos, really. Like, this is, like, the first time I'm really, like, even, like, opening up about it. So, I don't know, like, I didn't, like, plan it, like, what I would say exactly, like, how much I would say. So, I think that's why I'm, like, caught off guard.
Just like, but how does it compare, like, being in love with a girl? Like, you know, the highlight reel of like all the cool things you've discovered.
Dating,
you know,
a girl. Well, I would say like the difference is, like, there's obviously like, a lot more emotions. Like there's two like emotional girls involved now instead of like, I think there's like less. Bro, I don't even know how to explain this. I've even talked about this with you before, and like, I don't know why it's like.
Can you ask me some
of the questions you've asked me before, so I can like, because I feel like you're always like, so tell me.
What are some of the highlights?
Regular
what's the
orgasms.
Difference between guys and girls? Say it again.
Regular orgasm is a given. Like a different kind of comfort level, because like girls like understand the same things that you go through to a certain extent. Like, you know, your bodies go through the same thing. Like your emotions and like everything are very different from a man's, and like being with a girl you'd kind of like have like a different understanding, and like sometimes that's like chaotic because like there's so much emotion and like everything's kind of heightened, like the fights can be so much worse, or at least in my experience. Mm-hmm. But like also the good parts of it are so much like better. Like there's just like a different kind of connection that just feels like right.
Would you say it's more like a best friend kind of connection that's different, or what do you mean?
I felt like best friends with the guys I've dated.
Yeah,
like I feel like I always kind of,
but I guess like a girl best friend,
but
makes
it's
it different.
Yeah, there's a difference between a guy best friend and a girl best friend. Like I can be like more open, I feel just more comfortable being open about certain things. Mm-hmm. And vice versa.
I was gonna say, do you want to smoke weed? Would that like make you feel better?
Maybe.
Yeah, okay.
It could make it so much worse. I'm just warning you.
To just cut the nerves. And it
is
always
that
hurts.
That's a T-bone joint?
Yeah.
Is everything still working? We can't afford another mishap.
And we're back.
Okay.
Women.
Women. Yeah, let's talk about this. There's a lot of things that I've been like thinking about that I've had to like do differently, or maybe I've been like thinking about it differently. Mm-hmm. I mean, like having like liked girls forever, but now like having a girlfriend and like being open about that with people I just meet, like the differences in like the way that I probably make it up in my head, but the way that they now think about me, like mm-hmm. if I'm like on a shoot and like changing in the dressing room now and stuff like that with another girl, things like that, damn. Like small differences.
That is an interesting like thing to bring up. Yeah,
that's like things I've noticed that I've kind of had to change. Like I have to turn around and like I don't want to make anyone. I'm now thinking like, oh, what if they think I'm like looking at them or something?
Yeah, but, yeah.
Aside are from you? That, there's not much different. Are you looking at it?
That was my next question.
I've always like admired girls. Like I've always like been like,
I think all girls admire girls.
All girls admire girls. Yeah. Everyone admires girls.
Like, actually, even people every who aren't attracted to admires girls. Yeah, girls.
Like,
yeah.
Like women are just like undeniably attractive. There's something like beautiful.
Girls are like the beauty of the world. Yeah. Guys would say, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's why
that's why guys do anything that they do is to get beautiful women.
Well, that's because of sex. That's which is women and guys, but like they're like sex driven.
Yeah,
it's more for themselves, I think, than like I don't
but
know.
It's
for themselves, it's for like self-satisfaction, but they need us to do it.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So it's like there's a key component there.
I shouldn't have smoked. I'll be fine. I want to ask more about your relationship with Emily. I'm like curious, like
the difference between being in a relationship with a girl and a guy. A big difference is like I feel like people don't respect female relationships the same way.
What do you mean?
Like don't think that they like there's no like judgment or anything like that I felt, but like people will like blatantly hit on my girlfriend.
Guys or girls?
Girls. Will blatantly hit on my girlfriend whether I'm there or not. Mm-hmm. Like, and she'll be like, oh yeah, this is my girlfriend, and a girl will be like, yeah, like hi, nice to meet you, and then just literally go for it and be like, I've never tried girls before, like I literally like you're making me like question like so much, and like they'll just say this to like someone I'm like in a relationship with, where like you would never do that like to like, you know, they'll just full-blown like go for it, and I kind of just like find it funny most of the time, but at the same time I'm like, that's a little weird, actually, now that I think about it. Like, I've always, like, you know, been, like, very, like, both of us, like, compliment girls. I've always, like kissed girls, like, for fun and stuff like that. And, like, I think that's, like, very normal with women. But, like, I think because the girl I'm dating is more of a masculine girl, they feel like it's, like, a safe place to...
Experiment,
maybe? Yeah.
No, you do have a hard situation with being with the like the girlfriend that you have, just because like she is would be a lot of like straight girls type, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's not like kind of like a is a term like a lipstick lesbian? Is that a term?
Is that a term?
I'm pretty I remember hearing that term on MTV, so I don't know if that's like cool to say. So don't quote me. Don't know. I'm assuming it was cool because it was on MTV.
Yeah, she's not a lipstick lesbian. Yeah, but there's like masculine girls and more masculine girls and feminine girls, and there's like everything in between. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, she's definitely like
she's a beautiful like a Ruby, girl who Ruby could pass Rose for like vibe.
Yeah, I don't, yeah, like yeah, a like Ruby a Ruby Rose vibe. Yeah.
She like looks like Justin Bieber kind of thing, but you know what I mean?
Like
like a in like a good way.
Yeah.
You start smart. You're like
What can I say? She's beautiful.
The reason why I think it's cool for you is solely because like you hadn't like in so long like gotten a connection like that with somebody. So I'm just happy that you found someone that like makes you feel that type of way. You
Me
know.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been. I haven't been in a relationship for like over a year before meeting her. When I met her, it was like I couldn't. I just couldn't not. Like, we've had a lot of problems. Like, it was probably, like, the hardest start of a relationship I've ever had. Like, very toxic in the beginning. But, I mean, it's still the beginning. Yeah, I think that, like, it's a kind of connection that I'm, like, I can't just, like, let it go. Like, I've tried. When things got, like, hard, I tried to kind of... This is kind of just for you, maybe. Like, we're not going to put this on
We can cut anything out
But, yeah,
afterwards.
Like... Yeah.
You tried what?
Like, I tried to, like, kind of just be like, all right, like, this is too much. Like, this isn't worth it. But I think it, like, it is until it isn't.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'll just, like, know if it's too much. But at this point, like, I can't. Like, I'm obsessed. Like, you know this. Like, I literally,
no, I know.
Like,
it scares me. I'm obsessed. Yeah. No, it's definitely not healthy.
So anyways,
is there anything ever like, because I'm curious, I think a lot of girls consider,
I keep forgetting I can't just lay
you down. You can lay down. I literally, no, it's totally fine. This is a podcast as well, so it's audio, you know what I mean? Yeah. You can kind of do whatever. This is just the video component of the podcast. For the most part, it's audio.
Okay.
You know, so it, you could be in your bed, in my bed.
Oh, that sounds kind of nice right now.
Lay down as well. Make yourself comfortable.
No, I'm okay. I'm comfy.
But fuck, what was I saying?
That joint is just making me want to like be in this blanket.
Roll up in the blanket. Are there, well, I was saying, like, I think a lot of girls consider maybe being gay, or am I gay, or could I be in a relationship with girls? Do I like girls enough more than me, like, just drunk kissing them to date them? You know, there's so many things that goes through girls' heads. I think a lot of girls in our generation can consider the fact that they're either bi or gay. I would say a lot of girls. Myself included, but I'm pretty straight, to be honest. I know that. I love guys way too much. Like, I just know that I will end up with a guy. Like, I just know that. Because I love boys. I just do. But I've even think, and the reason in my head is why I know that I'm straight is because I think I would miss certain things if I was with a girl. That's, and that
what
was
would
my
you
next,
miss?
Well, the first thing that comes to my head, shallow enough, is their body. Like, is, I would just miss like a man's body, like a big body next to me. Like, nothing beats that. Like, that's like my thing.
Yeah,
I just like big.
I feel like you've
bodies.
Always kind of known like what you like and what you wanted.
Yeah, well,
to a certain extent.
To a certain extent. Well, I know like what I'm attracted to, and I know. Yeah. No, I think the better way to phrase that is I know what I don't like. Is I know what I don't like. I actually don't know what I like, but I'm very easy to filter. Like, I'm not interested in that, or you're not. You wouldn't make me happy, or this or that.
Yeah.
Or there's something. Or I'm not attracted to you. But is there anything in this relationship, like now, kind of like actually doing it and actually being in a relationship with a girl, where you're like, well, I'm sure there's benefits, like, obviously, like, certain things that, like, never happened before. But is there anything where you're, like, a guy, a role a guy filled? You can say no. I don't know the answer, actually. A girl can't do, or there's something that is missing from the relationship that you feel because it's just two girls. Is there anything a guy, a presence of a man brought that no girl can do? I don't know.
No.
Love that.
Yeah. No, I think that if anything, there's like more components that go into it now. Like, it's complicated, maybe because it's like my first relationship with a girl, but it's like I prefer that. Like, I prefer like the dynamic between a girl and a girl. Maybe I'm biased because like I'm in a relationship right now with a girl, but, and it's like my most recent reference to a relationship. But yeah, like there hasn't been a moment where I've been like, do I miss guys or anything like that? Like, I think that if this relationship weren't to work out, I probably would be only on the girl wave.
Yeah. I think what it comes down to, too, is like just, well, it's like openness as well. Like, in my head, I'm thinking about that. I'm like, oh, like, so that's interesting. She doesn't feel like there's like a difference, or obviously a difference, but doesn't feel like anything's missing. In my head, I'm like envisioning me with another girl. Like, as you're saying this, I'm like, I could see that, like me and like a good, really good best friend, and us just like really like each other. So it comes down to just like openness, you know?
I
like think open to the idea that maybe you don't need a guy as well. Obviously it's sexual orientation, but I think a lot of people are on a spectrum just in general. So it's like, it's, you can't really say you're 100% straight or 100% gay, you know?
Yeah, I don't think most anyone people. Really is.
I think there's, I would like to say I don't think anyone is, but I'm sure that there's some people that would argue that, that are like gay and being like, I'm 100% gay. Like, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So then that's kind of where I like don't say that, because like there's some people I'm sure like would bet their lives that they are 100% gay or 100% straight, and I don't want to like to credit that. But I also agree of, I think most people like have been attracted to both sexes, like where you can't even control it. Like, I like, I'm sure you had instances when I was young. I don't think I knew enough about like real like I don't think I knew what I was saying, but I when I was young, I got in trouble at my elementary school because me and this girl came out as lesbian at my very progressive school, by the way. My mom, they called my mom, and my mom goes, and what's wrong with that? My mom was so like, fuck you. You're not going to tell me yeah, my daughter coming up. Like, yeah, my mom was like, you're not
upset over that.
There was lesbian moms like who had daughters at the school. Like, and it was a really small school. So like, who are you to say that they were saying like, this is so inappropriate that your daughter, me and this girl, Minnie, her name was Minnie. We came out to our whole class as lesbians for each other.
Was it just like,
We were best friends and we loved each other so much.
Yeah.
And that we were just like, we're lesbians, obviously. Yeah. Like we were best friends. And so we would hang out all the time. And like, that's the thing is like when you're a kid, like there's so much like child, like sexual exploration that you don't, it's so innocent. And like, it doesn't really have like it's just simply curious. It's out of curiosity. It's you've just been born. You're now like
still trying to figure everything out.
Five on the world. Like you have no idea what's really wrong. You have no, you're just merely interested in like what, who you are, what your friends are and stuff like that. Even when you're young, like you have like kind of like a slight idea of like gay, straight, whatever. And even at that age, I remember being like kind of interested in girls. And yeah. At that age. And that's how I kind of, and I'm sure boys feel the same way with their guy friend that's really fucking good at sports.
Yeah.
That's like, oh shit, like that guy's kind of hot. Like for a moment, I don't know.
It's like, admiration in some sense where you're admiration. Like, you don't know the difference because I don't think you even like know like about like sexuality. There's when like, it comes down to sex, like I think you just think love is like connection and like admiration. And
there's some theories that that like some philosophers have made that kids come out like right out the gate sexual, which is like really fucked. But that is an argument people make. So I don't know, to be honest.
Like low key, I was a sexual kid.
Yeah, that's the thing is there's a lot of kids that are like right out the gate like super sexual. Like yeah. Oh yeah, you were like, can I say it?
Yeah, what were you gonna say?
Was it you or one of my other friends that was like making themselves like orgasm like throughout their childhood?
Was that was me.
That was you. I think that was you, and that was
guilty.
That's like literally. When did that start going down?
I don't know.
Like, what age do you think it was?
I'll tell you mine. You tell me yours.
I'll tell you mine.
Okay, yeah. I think it was probably like maybe like. Six or seven,
okay,
maybe somewhere around there. Like, mm-hmm. I was very little. I didn't know. Like, I thought I was the only person who could do that. Like, I thought I thought that this was something like I discovered.
That's amazing.
And I remember like having a diary that would like ask you questions. It's just like this memory just like rushed back to me. But I had a diary that would like ask you questions so you could journal about them.
Okay.
And one of the questions was, "What is one thing that you can do that nobody else can?"
Oh my god.
And I was like, oh my god, like I know exactly what this is. This is my superpower.
In a way, you were kind of right. Like you're probably one of the few 7-year-olds like really going there, you know.
Yeah.
That was it.
No, that was it. And like I don't even remember what I wrote down because I didn't know how to explain it, but I was
I would be curious to see like how you articulated that.
I wonder where that is. I wonder if my parents ever found that.
Throw the book away.
Yeah. Oh
no, seriously.
Oh my god, it should be.
It should be.
Oh my god. I think my parents knew. I think I was just like masturbating everywhere.
I
like,
do not think your parents knew.
I think they knew.
Why do you think they knew?
Because I vividly remember like masturbating like in the backseat of my car. My parents were
under
a blanket. Like okay. I thought it was like low key, but I was also like, I don't think it, like I knew it was bad, but I just kind of didn't want anyone to know at the same time. So I don't think I was like
to completion.
No, I don't know actually. I don't know if I like, yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think I just like rubbed one out in the backseat of my parents' car.
This is insane.
I thought like all kids were just like figuring that out.
To a degree, I think you're right. I remember I went to the doctor because I was
getting like really horny, and I didn't know why. Like,
and I remember being like, something's wrong. Like, something's wrong. Like, I don't like feeling like this. Like, I don't like, it was too much to the point like where, oh my God, I don't know. I don't think I can share this story.
It's, I mean, that makes sense, because you're always like, have been overwhelmed with how much, like, your emotions, I feel.
No,
like.
I know.
Like, how much you feel. Like, you're just like, you feel one thing, sadness, and you're like, nope, can't do this. I'm out. Fuck this.
No, I know. I need to stop doing that. I just can't. Like, I just literally can't.
No,
stop.
I think that's like part of who you are, clearly. If like, yeah, the feeling of like, no, being horny was like, oh God, nope, I don't like that I'm feeling something right now. Like, gotta go to the doctor and figure this out.
No, I literally, so I went to the doctor, and I remember it was my first time. I was probably like 10. It was my first time getting like a vaginal checkup. You don't do that until you're like,
yeah, you, till so you're way, you, like, older. Tell him something was wrong there.
No, thank God it was a woman. It was actually, and thank God it was, or the her. Woman. It was the woman who delivered me. She was like, so I had known her. She was like, cool. I was fine with this doctor. I remember my mom put Netflix on her phone. It was like right when Netflix could go on a phone at this time. So it was like really great. And I was like, put on headphones and like was watching Netflix while I was getting this fucking vagina exam, because I could not, like, I was so like embarrassed by it, because like, it was, that's so exposing as a kid, like, you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
But I insisted that something was wrong, and so, and I was like, I need to go to the doctor, like, there's something.
How did you explain that to your mom?
I told her, this is what I would say. I said that it felt like a bubble. I was like, it feels like I have a bubble, like, on my vagina. Like, and that's what I would say. Don't you kind of know what I...
If, like pressure, maybe?
I don't know, or what... Like, that's how I'd explain it. I was like, it feels like there's just, like, a bubble. Like, I just, like...
Like,
I
build up.
Something. And I was like, something's wrong. Like, any, they would, like, fully... They're like, nothing's wrong. Like, da-da-da-da-da. And, like, this consisted... And there's things I'm not going to share about it. I just... I've thought about it. I'm not going to share it on the podcast. Yeah. But, I finally reached the conclusion, and then I just learned to deal with it after like various years of like this not going away, and I still have the same feeling to this day, and I just learned to deal with it. Like, I probably just felt the same way as I feel right now, and now I'm just like,
in this very moment,
yeah, because I thought about that. I'm like, do I still feel like that? I still do.
So you feel like horny consistently? Yeah,
I think a little bit, to a degree. I think everyone does a little bit, you know.
Yeah Are there moments where you're like, not at all?
Yeah, sure, for sure. Oh. Like, where I'm like, well, just like in moments where you're like really preoccupied, I'm not. Like, I can be super distracted, and the last thing I'm thinking about is sex, like, in general. You know what I mean? Yeah. When you're so preoccupied in something, or an emotion, or you're going through something, and you're just like, no appetite, no this, no that. Yeah,
your brain is only in
one. You're just gone, yeah. So I've definitely had that, where I like have no. But at the same time, even in my really like sad eras, like, I'm always like really consistently horny, like, always.
Oh, when I'm sad, I'm literally getting off, yeah, all the time, 24/7, like,
all the time. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know how much I want to share on this podcast. This is,
I know, like, this whole last bit has been maybe questionable. I've never really, I don't know, talked, if I want to talk about like masturbating as a 5-year-old.
No, I've never really talked about sex either. That's kind of the one thing I avoid talking about.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit.
On your podcast with Anal Princess.
That was probably the only thing sexual I've ever talked about, was the podcast with Anna Prince. And that was her sexual experience.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't mine. So I didn't have to partake, because hers was great.
Enough to fill the...
I was just rambling questions at her. Yeah. So that's why I'm just like, damn, I don't know how much I want to share sexually about myself. That's like something I never talked about on Tumblr either. You know, I just talked about other things. There's many other things to talk about.
Yeah.
But here we are. Talking about sex.
So this is going in there? We'll decide after.
We'll decide after, yeah. Obviously, like, I know Scarlett really well, but for people that don't know her as well as me, I'm going to ask some questions that I already know. So, where are you from?
LA.
Are you from Pennsylvania?
I moved to Pennsylvania when I was 5.
Tell the
with
truth.
With my family. And then we moved back here when I was 11, but I was born here.
Okay.
We moved into the same apartment that I was born in.
Okay. And they still live there, right?
They still live there, yeah.
I was about to say the street, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
How did you get scouted? Like, how did you get into modeling?
I was scouted in the airport.
You were scouted? I actually didn't know that you were scouted, really? At the airport. No.
Yeah, I was going on, like, a family vacation. I was going to, like, I think I was going to Pennsylvania to visit my family.
Okay.
And
what age?
14.
Okay.
And a Wilhelmina agent. I think it
was Wilhelmina
Jill.
Was both our first agencies.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
And she came up to my mom, was like, oh, has your daughter ever considered modeling? And then gave her the info, and my mom was like, Wilhelmina is actually like a real agency, like,
yeah,
it's like a good one, you should consider it. My mom kind of, you know, she, because she modeled, so she kind of was like, yeah, think about it. I was like, absolutely not, like, yeah. I liked being the center of attention as a kid, but like not when I got to high school. Mm-hmm. Like everything kind of changed and I just like hated everything about myself, as most girls do. But like, yeah. So I was like, I do not want to like feel the rejection of like going in there and then getting my hopes up and something. Yeah. But like, I think like almost a year later, like right when I turned 15, I was kind of like, I loved Brandy Melville. That's when that whole thing kind of like everyone was into like Instagram photos and stuff. And I was kind of like, oh, maybe. Like, if given the opportunity, like, why not see? So I went in and like went into the agency, and yeah, they signed me, and then I got a job like the next day, and I got my first paycheck, and I remember being like,
this is real,
we're doing this.
Yeah.
Well, like, this is a real thing, like, this isn't just like someone trying to get money from my mom to like pay for modeling classes or something, you know, which happens a lot. But
yeah, what was like the intro into Brandy for you?
I started with, I think I signed with my agency first, and then I was doing other jobs. Like, my first job was Guess.
Your first job was Guest?
Yeah, it was like a lookbook. They did a test shoot with me.
That's sick.
Yeah,
what a great first job.
Yeah, it was actually a good first job. Like, Wilhelmina actually kind of killed it in the beginning for me. I kind of like, I actually think I went to them and I was like, I want to model for Brandy Melville, and they were like, no.
Why would they say no?
Because they said that they hire girls who aren't models. Oh, yeah, they kind of were like, anybody can do it. Like, you want to hold off for like the bigger brands. Like, we're booking you for like real stuff. Like, trust me, that's the move. And I kind of was like, oh, okay. And then I went into the store and like they scouted me in the store and were like, would you take photos? I'm like, I can't. My agency said I can't.
Yeah.
And then I went back to them. I'm like, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So I think I started, I think I may have shot for Brandy like outside of my agency.
Yeah.
Like, illegally. And then I kind of like brought that job to them. I was like, I really want to do this. And they're like, okay.
Yeah.
You're 15. Like, you can do whatever you want.
I love how that's the age where you get to decide. Oh, you're 15 now.
No, I think it was like, because I was so young, they were like, you have time to like do, play. If you like really want to do this job.
Yeah.
And like, I did. Like, it was like the shit.
What, if you weren't modeling, what do you think you would do?
I probably would have gone to college.
And, to like, do
figured
what?
Figured it out. Just to like, be like a more, like, my dad always said, like, even if you don't know what you want to do, just like to go to college to be a more well-rounded person. You know, like, you take classes and kind of like figure that out along,
figure out
way.
What you like. Yeah.
But I always wanted to do something like creative, so like modeling kind of showed me that you can make money doing that, and like meeting people who, like, everybody like around us pretty much does something creative for a living. So it's like, it kind of gives you like, yeah, I don't know, maybe I wouldn't have done something creative if I wasn't like introduced to so many people who like have been successful from doing things they just like doing, instead of like finding a job and doing it like the typical way, I guess.
I feel the same way. But I don't think I would have done something creative had it not been for all the really inspiring people I met that only do that, you know. Like, literally all of our friends only are dreamers, every single one of them. So I think that's cool, because that's like kind of like what modeling puts you in. Because I wouldn't really like, would you, I guess modeling is technically creative. It's like photography and fashion.
It's like creating art.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, it's kind of not your art. You're just, it's kind of like a prop in someone else's art. Yeah. Yeah.
So it doesn't feel creative for me, at least.
Yeah. Like, at least like,
it's like very technical, actually.
Yeah. There are like jobs where you get to have some creative freedom, but it's kind of more rare, I feel like.
Has there ever been times in modeling where you've like want to quit?
There was, when I was like 18, I think, was like the point where it was like affecting my mental health the most.
Like, how so?
Like, I think like having no other life outside of that, like, all my friends at this point were modeling, I wasn't really like keeping up with my high school friends the same. Like, I didn't drop out of school, I finished it online, so I was just modeling full time. So I like saw like the real effects of what modeling can do, instead of kind of just like doing jobs on the weekends while I'm going to school and doing schoolwork and like having a life outside of that. So like, then that's whenever I like realized like how insecure it was making me. And also, it's just hard working that much as like a teenager.
Yeah.
Which a lot of teenagers do. Like, a lot of teenagers and young adults like have to like support themselves. But like, it was like 10-hour days where you're like being like poked at, and like, it's like a very physically draining job. And then at the same time, like, people are constantly just like commenting on how you look. And like, like, her shoulders are too bony in that, or like just a small the smallest little comments that aren't even insults, but like as a teenager you're just like, oh my god, my shoulders are too bony, no one's ever gonna like me. Like it's just like everything's the end of the world, I think. So like being at that age combined with being in like a very weird profession,
it doesn't make like the greatest recipe for like success. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
Like young girls in modeling, like it's just, what the fuck do we expect?
It's just, like,
so many girls
known to be at some point like really hard on
like
you.
Toxic. Yeah. For some people. I've actually like never really had like horror stories with modeling. Like people have asked me that and I'm just kind of like, no, like I haven't. I know other girls. There is this one photographer in LA my friend had a bad experience with. Have you had any bad experiences with photographers?
Like, do you mean someone like hitting on you or like something?
All of the above. Like, well, I'm maybe not like just a person in a bad mood. Obviously, that's just life.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think I got pretty lucky.
You got lucky. Okay, yeah.
I got lucky, yeah.
There's a mutual friend of ours. I think this photographer is like now blacklisted. I don't know if I should say his name. Probably not, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, but just in general, like...
I don't know who it is. Like, what he was. What was her experience? Like,
so he took her to... She was, I think, 17. So underage. Not even just a young girl. An underage child. He took her to the desert to shoot, like, by themselves. To shoot...
That's already kind of scary.
No, I know. To shoot...
No crew? Literally just two?
I'm pretty sure it was just them at the time. I'm pretty sure. And he kept insisting, like, her bandeau, like, be a little lower and be a little lower. And she was just, like, so, like... And that moment realized, like, this photographer's not cool. And then I think she had, like, another... Or, like, he made her just, like, wildly uncomfortable to the point where she's, like, I'm alone in the desert with this guy. Like, I
the, like,
it.
Realization sets in that though this is, like, normal for a lot of my jobs, like, it's still, like, a dangerous position to put yourself in as a young girl.
I think I can't remember. This was so long ago. And my memory, as both of you guys know, doesn't exist. So most of it's creative anyways. That she told us, and her boyfriend at the time... And we were all kind of like this little friend group, her boyfriend and like his brother and friend and stuff.
Yeah.
We knew where he lived. We went and egged his house.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
In the hills. We like literally, but this was us at like literally 17, like 18. We're like, fuck this guy. Like, fuck you. You're not going to take advantage of like blank. Like, you're not, I know. We were like, yeah.
That's so cute.
It was, and fucking our, and Daniel was there. Oh. Aww. But, yeah, that's like the only I remember. Then she was with Freedom at the time, I'm pretty sure. And she told her agency, like, this guy, do not bring him with other girls, like, this guy is not cool, yada yada yada. And Freedom had already been contacted about this guy being inappropriate by other girls that modeled for Brandy. I remember, like, another girl, this other model, I don't want to say the names just because it's not my story to tell, like, whatever. But this girl, let's say her name's Sarah, I remember Sarah worked at Brandy and was just like, and she was also with Freedom, and she goes, I reported this photographer to Freedom and they still sent her with that guy.
A lot of agencies do that.
They just, well,
they'll be like, oh my god, thank you for telling me, like, I'm so glad we know. And then like I'll see one of my friends working with them like the next week, and I'm
literally
like, wow. Like, you don't actually care.
I've had like photographers be kind of like creepy or like inappropriate. Where I like can tell they're probably sexually aroused and stuff like that. But I just kind of like, I'm like, whatever. Like, I don't really let it like make me like that uncomfortable. It makes me wildly uncomfortable on the inside. It does, because I'm not like, it's already, it was already uncomfortable to do this job at all. So if someone's like making it worse, it sucks. But at the same time, I'm not going to like say it's a sexual harassment thing. At least for me, I'm just like, whatever, you just suck and I don't like you, and I'm just going to resent you forever. That's how I choose to deal with it.
Like, I think if you feel uncomfortable, then like, you're right. You know what I mean? Like, I've always believed that. Like, if you feel like, is he kind of like pushing the limit? Then he is, usually. And like, it doesn't have to like go to like the lengths of like a sexual assault to kind of be like
wrong.
You know that it's wrong. Like, your job is like being put in a room with a young girl and like she's being vulnerable and you're like taking advantage of it to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, I've been in situations like that too, but like, luckily
never been groped.
Never been groped. Borderline.
what are you thinking of?
I had a photographer, we were like drinking and smoking weed on set. Mm-hmm. Not on set, it was literally just at his house, and he was like a photographer I like really admired.
Yeah, I've shot with him too. He was weird.
Yeah,
he was weird. Yeah.
And like I thought like this guy's so cool, like we kind of like the second I walked in the door he was already talking about like his relationship issues and stuff, like kind of just like felt like was he talking
yeah. He did the same thing. I know so much about it. And
before ever
did he
meeting
talk,
her
did he talk about her private parts to you?
No, you told me about this though. He talked, but yeah,
this photographer that we both shot with, this is, explain your story, it's insane. He's so inappropriate, like just so.
Yeah, I think it wasn't until I like looked back at it that I realized like how inappropriate yeah. it was. And then like I think like a couple weeks, oh no, actually when the photos came out, my friend hit me up and was like, that man like sexually harassed me, like mm-hmm. tried to like grab me by the
yeah.
pussy, like yeah. that kind of a thing. And I was like, whoa. And then I was like, wait, I can see that from like my experience.
Yeah. Was he on that cancel? Do you remember like a couple, was it last year? That list?
I think
Diet Prada posted it, but like mm-hmm. it was an original, was it? I don't know if it was Diet Prada or like Diet Prada just reposted it. But it was like a list.
I feel like Shit Model Management.
Oh, wait, was it maybe? Shit Model Management, yeah. maybe? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there was he on there? I thought he was.
I think he may have been.
There's so many photographers I shot with on there.
Yeah, there was like, yeah, that list was extensive.
Yeah. And it went into like great detail, and you can kind of like tell that it was like credible, like someone like yeah. they knew the front to back. Obviously anyone can make up anything, but like realistically, but, like, it's probably yeah. true. And like it's just so interesting, like hearing like these girls like vividly detailed like sexual harassment encounters, like it's from people we had shot with yeah. and that were like totally cool seeming to me mm-hmm. or like to like to whoever, like just the world, I guess. And then they have this kind of like sinister like thing. There's yeah. like a lot of photographers actually I can feel, even ones I'm cool with to this day, that I still shoot with to this day, that I'm like, I can tell you're not doing it for the right reasons, but I still go because they take really good
photos.
You like
the photos.
Yeah. And I just like suck it up, but I can tell, I'm like, you're creepy. You're yeah. creepy, and you probably do weird shit with these photos. Like I can kind of tell because there's something I'm picking up, and a lot of people I'm not picking that up, so why am I picking it up from you? Because there's probably something there. I don't know. I'm also just like, I also just listen to my intuition probably too much.
Your intuition is probably right. Like
yeah,
you're still like a beautiful girl, like a lot of the time, like half naked in front of this guy, and he has like, he's able to like tell you what to do, and like has this kind of, in a sense, like power.
Yeah, also
still
like
a man.
They get very easily excited about the fact that they're like friends and like shooting with like naked girls all the time, versus like you could just do this strictly for the art and strictly for like love of photos and photography and like love of like women's beauty, and like not be so excited actually about all like the superficial elements that maybe the real reason you got into this. Like I see that all the time where I'm kind of just like, do you even like photography? Do you? Or do you just like being around models half naked? Because I can't tell. You take yeah. good photos, but like a lot of people can learn photos and lighting. Like if you're creative and you have a good work ethic, you can figure that out.
Do you think that there's people who like fall in love with photography and get into this because of like their like love for art, and then it kind of ends up turning into that?
I'm sure, like,
where
that
they
exists.
Get
yeah.
like a taste of this kind of like lifestyle, and they think it's just acceptable to,
yeah,
you know.
Or they
take advantage of it.
Or they find like this is working for them too. Like this yeah. is like, I'm getting successful shooting girls, and maybe it's just girls normally. And then it's like maybe bikinis that gets more traction on Instagram. Then suddenly you're shooting half naked. Like I don't think like half these people are like just like doing
malicious
it with like
when they, yeah.
sinister, I love exploiting women. Like I don't think that for the most part, I'm sure there's also that person exists. But it is interesting, like the ones that kind of like set off alarm bells in me of just like, there's something that's really not cool about you that I can tell you're sexually like gratified by your job. Mm-hmm. That's what I don't like. There's a lot of photographers I can tell are so professional and like are not gaining some like gratification of like, look at me. I don't know. Do you feel like, I feel that way? I can name like two photographers that I'm like, oh wait.
Can you name them?
I'll say it to you. I know he fucking like jacks off to those photos when he goes home. Don't you
yeah.
think so?
I
think he does. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, that's, like, what I think in my head. I'm like, why?
And do
you
even, like... he's the photographer who, like, he will talk about... Like, I remember the last time I shot with him, one of the last times, and he was, like, talking about other photographers and, like, how...
That's another thing.
Yeah, he'd be like, I can't believe, like, other photographers, like, don't get a read on, like, when girls are uncomfortable. Like, mm-hmm. he's like, it's so, like, fucked up that, like, if a girl says no, then it means no. You shouldn't even question it. Like, if she doesn't want to shoot naked, she doesn't want to shoot naked. And then, like, I was, like, pulling out outfits. He's like, should we just do, like, fishnets and nothing else? And I was like, I mean, like, that's, like, pretty, like, naked for me. I'm not sure. He's like, I know, but, like, I'm not, like, one of these other photographers. Like, it's me. Obviously, like, it's fine with me. And he did exactly what he thought he was, like, he thought he was exempt from the rule. Like, you know what I mean? Like, where you shouldn't even question it. If I'm like, I'm not sure, then be like, okay, yeah, of course. Like, let's do, put on a shirt. Like,
yeah.
You know? That's, but yeah, that, I remember being like, that was the first experience I had that I was like, ew, oh, you kind of suck too.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the funny thing, is we started this by saying, oh no, nothing's, everything's fine. Ever happened to us. And then we, like, really break it down and we're like, they all kind of suck at the end of the day. A lot of them do. But that's the thing. It's funny that he said that, because it's almost like he's like, this is what I want to project out. Like, I'm going to say that all the right things of, like, this and that, of, like, almost convincing himself that he's not, like, one of the other photographers. Yeah, like, I can't believe all these other photographers don't know when to draw the line. Like, telling him, like, it's like he's saying it to himself. It's like, come on. Like, if you were really
manipulative.
If you were that secure, you just wouldn't say anything. Like, you would just, like, know that you aren't like that. If you really felt that way, why did feel the need to ramble on about it for 20 minutes of how you're more different than other photographers? I don't know. I think that's, like, funny. Because people that wouldn't feel that way just wouldn't feel that way. Wouldn't feel the need to say it. I'm sure there's exceptions. I'll say that, but I don't know. I think that's funny. I think, like, a huge, like, portion of modeling is just, like, knowing when to shut up and, like, picking your battles. And, like, that's why it's hard. You know? It's, like... I'll wait for this car to pass, but it is, like, a tough industry in, like, that sense, you know? You kind of would you agree with that?
You have, like, full control in a sense. Like, you can say no to things, you can pass up jobs that you don't want to do. At the same time, like, having that much control over your life, a lot of the time at, like, a young age, you don't know where to draw the line for yourself.
Yeah.
So, like, you'll maybe allow things that you wouldn't, having, like, grown up a little or, like, experienced life a little more. Oh, what was I saw some article today. It was, like, an actress, and she was talking about, like, being taken advantage of when she was 17, and, like, they'd have her, like, walk around set in her underwear and stuff like this in between scenes. Like, it was just so normal for her. And everyone was like, well, you had control over that situation. You could have said no. You could have done something differently. Or just not done the shoot. And it's like, well, now she's a 17-year-old having to decide between losing her job and probably, like, you know, having this now out there as well.
Yeah.
Which nobody really wants to, like, come out and say, like, I was taken advantage of, or it's, like, embarrassing to some girls.
Yeah.
There's, like, just so much that goes into it.
It's like, you don't want to be the one that complains. So, at least that's how I feel.
Yeah.
So, I've, like, therefore never complained, to be honest. And that's why I'm, like, it's partially knowing, like, obviously, if I ever was actually in a situation where I was, like, sexually groped, something like that, I'll say something, because I believe in justice. Like, I'm on that kind of stand of that. But, like, a lot of the time, it's just kind of, like, seeing the flaws of what it is and, like, not letting it, like, affect you as a person. And that's, like, half of modeling is just, like, is, like, not, like, just picking your battles, I would say, of, like, what is this really, like, that important, like, or do you want to make it, like, a lot of money this day, like, you know what I mean? It sounds crazy. That's why modeling is so, like, controversial to, like, for young girls, should young girls be doing this job, yada yada yada. Like, it's just, like, because it is kind of sleazy in a lot of ways. But it just comes down, I would pretty much say every single person that's ever modeled, especially the ones that have been, like, in the industry for, like, 40 years, like, the really top models, like, everyone that does this job, like, would say probably the same thing, which is, like, there's a lot of, like, sleazy behavior, and it comes down to, like, not making a big deal about every single thing.
Yeah.
I would say that.
Yeah. Picking and choosing your battles.
Yeah.
And knowing, like, what you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
Yeah, which could also change a lot over time. Like, you could be comfortable with something when you're young, and then as you get older, you're like, I would never let someone, like, treat me like that again.
Yeah.
which I think probably is like what I've experienced, like as I've gotten older, but also being more established helps. Like the more, as you like feel like you've got your footing in the industry, then you can kind of have more control over it. But yeah, I feel like also a lot of the time, like you can be really modest or uncomfortable with certain things coming into it, and then people kind of just like push at you and push at you and push at you until you now think like, oh well, I've already done like bikini, like lingerie is the same thing, like I've already done lingerie, like topless suggested. It's so it kind of, you end up doing things you never think you would do.
Yeah, I remember, it's funny you bring that example up, because like I also, it's called, it's actually like a theory, not a theory, it's like a persuasive technique called nudging, where they actually use it like in sex trafficking as well. Obviously, I'm not comparing modeling to sex trafficking, please. But they use that where it's like you do, where you end up being able to do something you would once never do. Where you start by kind of doing a small favor for them. I'm now using a sex trafficking analogy, but where it starts with, hey, like first, can you run this favor for me to my friend? So something really simple. Then it goes to, can you deliver like drugs to my friend? And then it goes to, you're sleeping with like the drug dealer, and then you're suddenly like habitually selling drugs. Something like they never, that's like how, if I'm like explaining it so terribly, but I'm sure you can get the concept of nudging to do something that you would never do. And with modeling, I never wanted to shoot lingerie. Ever. Like that was like the one thing, I just never wanted to do it. I remember, and like I had huge boobs when I was 16, like I almost doubled D size boobs. Almost every single job I got booked for was for swim, like when I was young. I think I did every, like almost every swim job in LA at that time, to the point like almost all of them, and I hated it. It was my least favorite thing to do, because A, you couldn't eat a big lunch, and that was like, I was really annoyed by that.
Like, it's still annoying.
It's still annoying. Because I just want to enjoy my day. I don't want to have to think about it. And like, you have to think about it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of what's annoying about it. You have to think about it the night before as well. So, and I remember I was like so like body conscious. I was just like, oh my God, I do not want to be in a bikini all day. Like, this is just like not, like, I don't, it's so much different than modeling clothes. Like, it just, in terms, it just is. And so I remember you get a bigger rate for swim and lingerie. You do. So you get a larger rate for that. I don't know exactly why. Maybe because it isn't as modest, right?
Yeah, it's just more, I feel like there's less people who take those jobs, maybe.
Yeah.
Or like, it's just kind of like they have control over those photos. So if you're putting yourself in a position you might not like them, they have to kind of pay you more.
Yeah.
Like, I guess.
Yeah. They, I like, with my agency, they first had to like convince me to do swim, because I didn't want to do swim. What are you looking for, your puff?
His blanket swallows everything.
Literally. Sorry, continue. No, you're totally fine. But my agency had to convince me to do swim, because I didn't want to do swim. Like, I like literally was just like, no. But it was a good job. But I remember my agency was just like, oh, but you can make so much more money doing like lingerie and swim, like da 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 da. I got pitched the whole thing. Oh my, I remember my worst swim job I ever did. This is when I realized I hated my life. Like hated my, this was probably the most like embarrassing modeling job, and it was because I was doing swim, and it was thongs swim. It was for, I don't want to say the name. I don't want to say the name of anything, apparently, but it was on Venice Boulevard. On like midday. Did I tell you?
No, but yeah, I've had similar experiences.
It was 2 days as well, so it was fucking brutal. It was a big like Ford Bronco car, so, and that I was washing. That was the concept of the shoe. I was washing this Ford Bronco, so I had like soap everywhere and like this fucking thong on. I think I was 18, and cars were honking at me, and there was this priest. He was a fucking priest. This priest comes out and starts watching me, and I'm like literally like, and meanwhile I'm like trying to be as professional as I can, but at the same time I was not shy to be like, can you tell them to like, it made me so uncomfortable. I was like, I can't do this like while these people are here, like this is so bad. He gets on the phone. He calls four of his friends to tell them what's going on.
and they show
did
up
a bunch of priests
and start watching me. No, they, his friends weren't priests, but it was like four of his fucking friends, and I was literally, and they were all like,
he had like the little like collar on.
That's
and everything.
How I knew he was a priest was because of the collar, unless he was wearing it for fun. But I was like, wow, what a fucking priest you are! Like that, you like really like you're gonna sit here and like it was so inappropriate.
Yeah, it checks out.
And he lived like right like in one of the houses, so they told him to leave, and he was just like. And like moved like 10 feet back, and I was like, fuck you. But anyways, it's just like shit like that. Like I would have never, but you just end up doing that. I ended up being in my thong on Venice Boulevard covered in soap, washing a Ford Bronco, getting my photo taken.
Yeah.
Like, I would have never fucking done that. Like ever. And then it turns into lingerie, and now I've done some lingerie shoots. I still don't really like doing it. I did a job in London, and and they, I originally got booked to shoot the clothes, like clothing and dresses and normal stuff, sleepwear, all stuff I like. I love shooting sleepwear. That's my favorite thing to shoot. Pajamas. Yeah. Like literally my favorite fucking thing. So I got booked to shoot that. And then they were like, can we test you for lingerie? And I was like, yeah, like I'll test for lingerie. Like, I don't care. I didn't think anything of it. I was like, yeah, I was on a job. They wanted to test me. You do it. I got tested. They're like, we want to book you for lingerie. And I was just like, and then I was like, I actually said no. And then they came back with like a larger rate that I was doing. I ended up completely shifting my job there. And I did 4 days a week of lingerie at the store. And I saw the photos online. And like my whole fucking ass like was out in these like thongs and then lace. And I literally had to call my agent being like, can you tell them to either crop up or edit the fuck out of my these things. I was just like, no. And they actually were so nice about it. But that was like the first time I'd had like really like, there was like, thankfully only women shop on that site. But like, and only girls were going to see it. But that actually helped me a lot. But I was just like, I do not want like my nipple out and like my ass out online. Like I just don't want that. And that's okay to say. You don't have to be like super cool with fucking everything if you're a model.
Yeah.
And that's something I learned. I was like, I don't have to be okay with this. I don't have to. I'm doing it. I'm doing the job for you. Mm-hmm. I'm already don't really want to do it. I'm doing it. I'm okay with like drawing the line there. I was like, this is like kind of crazy. But yeah, that's like my nudging experience. And now I'm just like, whatever. Now I'm a girl that's like that shoots lingerie and swim, and I just take the money and go.
Yeah.
I do what like I get booked on, which is like, but since I've cut my hair, I don't really get lingerie that much, which is nice. This is what I wanted.
This is why you keep it short.
This is why I keep it short. Yeah.
That's the thing with modeling is you don't know what you're going to do day to day. And like most of the time it could be chill 90% of the time. And then there's like the 10% where you're not getting a slip that says, this is what your day is going to entail. You're going to be in a thong on Venice Boulevard with a priest watching you and calling it. You know what I mean? Like,
so true. Literally.
Like, you just don't know what can happen and, like, how you can end up in these situations. And a lot of time you're like, I thought I was, like, chill like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it could have been a studio job and it could have been the easiest fucking day ever. And you just don't know until you show up and you have to do it.
You actually don't know until you're already uncomfortable. And then it's uncomfortable to say something about it. Yeah. And, like,
you don't know until your makeup's done. A lot of time
people are like cool about it and want to make you comfortable, otherwise the photos won't look good if you're not comfortable. Plus they're like forcing a girl against her will to do something she doesn't want to do. Like most of the time that's not the case, but it's hard to say something. It's hard to like feel like a diva and like you know, not just be like compliant and make everything go smoothly so that they like you and book you again.
Do you have any limitations? Like, have you ever had to fill out one of those forms at your agency of like no, yes? Like, do you think
maybe when I first signed with Wilhelmina, but I don't think I've done that as an adult.
I'm pretty sure my new agency made me do that. I've said the only thing I don't shoot is fur and my full tits. I don't shoot nudity. I've never shot nudity, actually. I've only shot like inferred nudity. That's just me though.
Yeah, I mean, my agents are kind of the ones who push no lingerie and stuff like that.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So your agency had your back.
Yeah, my agency definitely has my back. And if I text them and say like something is bothering me, they'll be like, oh, like they'll figure it out and do the talking and make it seem like they're the ones who like aren't okay with it, which is nice. Mm-hmm. So it's like I'm not like being a diva.
Why were they against you doing lingerie?
They're not against it. Like if a job pays well, they'll bring it to me and be like, do you want to do this? This is the rate. It's a pretty good rate. And I'm like, yeah or no, you know? And it depends. They didn't want me doing just that. And like for a while like you said, like that's what I was getting booked on, was like swim and lingerie. And my whole Instagram, like I did a deal with a lingerie brand recently. Mm-hmm. But it was worth it for me. I was kind of like, I'm going to capitalize on my Instagram account, yeah, because like, why not? Like, it's just like a...
My agent would always say, what else do you have it for? She's like, what good do you think it does you if you never post anything? Like, why do you have this
then? Yeah. And I'm so bad. The issue is I'm so bad about posting like other stuff that like whenever I do ads or something like that, it's like all that you see, like, you know. But yeah, they just didn't want me being like labeled as like a sexy girl, mm-hmm, so that I could do cooler stuff too. That's pretty much it. Well,
my agency was totally cool with me being sexy girl. That's what they push me every day to go back to,
because so it pays well. You're gonna get paid well, they're gonna get paid well, but then the longevity of it, it's probably still there. Like, you'll still always be sexy, so like you could do it for a long time, but you're just not, it's like a different kind of, it's kind of like a different type of modeling from fashion.
Yeah. Well, realistically, like the best girls can do both, like super sexy and like super high fashion and stuff like that. My agent that I'm with now, I've been with her for like 5 years, I think, at two different agencies. She's like so old school and like love her to death, but she doesn't like see a lot of things that like young people would like get, you know. And she's like just very old school in like that way, and she just like still wants me to grow out my hair and get rid of my bangs and just like be completely like sexy again, and she's just like waiting for that. She does not get like anything, like
she's just all. One of your agents?
No, she's my main. She's Tana. It's Tana.
Oh, at Elite. Tana wants you like that.
Tana, she like she just thinks that's like my best form. She also likes she's also cool with my bangs and I like made during the pandemic. I was just like, I'm doing it because I would have colored my hair by now. Like, I would have dyed my hair purple or like light pink. I've wanted to for like since I was a kid, and I can't because I'm modeling. There's so much stuff I would love to do.
There's so much stuff I would do too.
But I literally have never been able to do it because of modeling. And the one thing I was just gonna do was cut my hair and make it. I just like really wanted to do that.
It's also like it's like malleable enough. Like, you can change it to be. To fit into different vibes still. It's not like if you show up with like bright pink hair, then that's like a specific vibe you can't do much about.
Yeah. No, hair color for sure is I never did because it's so like it's too alternative almost, you know, like you would only really be getting alternative bookings, like jobs that are like really like alternative. And unless it's like, pretty much. So I just like never did that. But I would love to. If I wasn't modeling, I would have probably colored hair, at least have tried it by now. But I've just been consistently brunette.
What would you do? What would be the first thing you would do purple, with your hair?
Purple. Light. I was actually thinking this like 2 days ago of how bad I would love to color my hair purple right now, especially because it's short. I would do lavender and I would wear it the same. And I would, oh my God, I want to color it purple so bad because it would be, it's like finally short enough to do it. I would love to have purple hair.
That'd be
cute. It
would
look so sick. I'd get so into like styling it as well. But I can't, cause that would just like, I just literally can't. Like I've thought about it. It would hurt every aspect of my life if I colored my hair purple, other than my, the creative liberty in me. Everything else would get hurt. But besides that, so I just have never done it, but I would love to. Well, I mean, it would more so be like, what jobs would I book for like acting as well? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you would be like
all across every board, it would just be like a girl with purple hair versus this is like, and like how we look now is just like, you can be 20,000 different people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With the right makeup and styling, with purple hair, you're just the girl with purple hair.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
You dyed your hair recently.
Yeah.
You went dark red.
Yeah, it was going to be more of like a ginger, like something that I was like, well, this is still a natural hair color. Like, I could do, you know, because I wanted, like, I've always wanted to do a bunch of shit to my hair. Mm-hmm. And I think not being able to do it makes you want to do it more.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought I was going to go like a natural color, like maybe a strawberry blonde, or just go like full ginger, like kind of fiery ginger. And then I ended up like, all the reference photos I liked were like of the darker colors. They were pretty much just brunette girls that had like auburn.
Yeah.
In their hair. So it ended up being not a color that would grow out of your head naturally. But I loved it. And they were like, yeah, just like the red is fine, but like maybe just go more natural with it. And I just didn't want to. I was like, I already am here. Mm-hmm. If anything, I wanted to keep going darker.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to do like a brighter red or like something that, because I just felt so like.
Felt like you.
Yeah. I was like finally doing something that was for me, like even though it didn't benefit me in my job. Mm-hmm. And then I booked jobs, but like I was not making like nearly as much money. Mm-hmm. Because the jobs were they were here and there, and like it's more of a specific look than just being blonde. Like they can make you whatever you want. Yeah,
I thought the red really suited you. Like it was like literally, really? Obviously you suit blonde so well. And this I think is like the probably more objectively like people would like this hair. Like I know I'm not like I say that with like a grain of salt. People think my objectively best hair isn't what I look like right now.
Yeah.
So I just say that because that's how people think. But I really liked it because I thought it like suited your personality so well.
A lot of people said that too.
It made, once you had red hair, I was like, this just like makes sense. Like you just like are this person. Like you are like a redheaded gal. That's what I thought. And then I couldn't even see you as a blonde anymore. I'd see photos of you with blonde hair and I was like, you
me too. I was like, who is this? Like, this just feels right. Yeah. Like, especially because it was like, I think just having darker hair in general, I was like, the clothes I could wear were different.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like as a blonde, like the beachy look, like if I try on an outfit that I like love, but I'm like, it looks like I'm trying to be this outfit. Mm-hmm. Like, instead of just like, I don't know. Like, I feel like
that's how you felt with red hair. Like you,
with blonde hair. With blonde hair, I feel like people see me as like, I look like sweet or like, like, I don't know. Yeah. But darker hair just feels like edgier, like darker. So like when I would wear darker stuff, I was like, yeah, I look like I would be wearing this.
I love how that's like clicked for you in your head.
So stupid.
You're like, I feel like I wasn't supposed, like you were dressing up before with blonde hair. That's funny.
Yeah. Like I would wear things that I like, if I like that outfit, but I would look like, you know, if I like wore all black and like wanted to like go like a little more like goth that day, I looked like this like sweet blonde girl who's like wearing a goth outfit.
Everyone wants like the grass is always greener.
Yeah, of course. Because like, at the end of the day, I was like, I don't care enough for people to believe me when I say I'm goth.
You like are like the beauty standard, technically, like blonde hair, blue eyes, you know. That's like
it was for a while. Like, we kind of got to the point that I was like, people want different, like they're more accepting of people who have like original looks now. So I was like, this could be like beneficial, even
the red,
if I went red or like did something different.
Yeah.
And I didn't really stick it out long enough to see, but I just wasn't making as much money, so I kind of was like,
yeah.
And then I went blonde and like started working like crazy again because everyone's like, oh, she's back, okay, we need to book her.
Oh, thank god.
It was almost like they held off until I was going blonde again. And I was like, all right,
yeah,
I gotta do this.
Yeah,
until I just like, you know, get my bag and go. But
what are your like plans for like the next 5 years? Like, where do you kind of see yourself going? Like, what are you excited to like do? Like,
that was a loaded question. There was a few different. My dad asked me this recently. I don't really have an answer because I've literally never known. I've never known like what I wanted to do, what I wanted to be. Like, it changes every day. Like, I, even as a kid, like I would be so certain, like I'm gonna do something. Like, I would find a hobby and be like, I'm gonna be
an architect.
I loved building these blocks and like that this is what I meant to do. And I would like be obsessed with it for 2 weeks. Like, I would ask for like something in a specific category for Christmas, for my birthday, and then I'd be on to the next thing. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna be an artist. I just want art stuff. Mm-hmm. I want, like, this is what I'm gonna do 24/7. Like, I'm gonna be really good at it. And like, I just haven't been able to like hold on to a hobby or like a passion like ever in my life.
What was it when you were young? Predominantly
like 100 different things, but it usually fell into like the category of art. Like drawing. My dad got me like a pottery wheel
when Scarlett's I was little, a great like, little artist painting. For sure, she's a really good painter.
Thank you. But I just don't do it enough. Like, it's, and I'm like, do I not care about it enough to like want to do it all the time? Or like,
you know what I think it comes down to? This is me just like saying like things to myself, so this might not apply to you, but I say things like this to myself all the time to like give myself reality checks of like, you're probably unfocused because like of your career style, because like you haven't needed to be focused You haven't had a firm. This is like honest. And sometimes, you know, like sometimes you just need to say this to yourself. At least I say this to myself. Well, I don't even know if this is true. Like, this might not even be something you have to say. But like, to at least take it in consideration. Like, maybe I'm unfocused because like, you haven't needed to ever be. You know, most people mm-hmm. have to be focused in some way. Like, where they don't like make like a really good living off of just modeling, you know? Like, modeling's so such a chill, like it's the fact that we can like survive and like make like a actual living off of it is crazy.
Yeah.
But it doesn't require any brain power at all. None whatsoever. You just show up, get your makeup done, and go. That's literally it. You don't have to say anything. You don't even need to speak English. You don't. You literally don't. That's the crazy thing. So if you get by for that amount of years not doing anything successfully, you're making enough money to survive, and you're also rewarded for like partying and socializing and like connecting. Like, you're rewarded for like being social, going out. Your life is just like, well, of course you're not going to be focused. Of course you haven't really found something you've stuck to, because it's just like,
You haven't needed to.
Like, if you weren't modeling and maybe you lived in Pennsylvania, maybe I think about this with myself too. I go, who knows how more of a dynamic person I would have been had I never been rewarded solely on what I looked like. And that's what I thought was my only thing.
Redeeming quality.
Like, who knows, like, if I would have been like a director or been like an editor. Like, who mm-hmm. knows? Like, I don't know what I would have been into had I not been put into this, like, pause button where you don't have to do anything. You know what I mean? Like, I say this to myself so I get out of it. Of just, like, break out of it. Like, focus, join the rest of the real world. Like, stop being, like, a little bitch. That's what I say to myself. Just because, like, everyone's a victim of their circumstance. It's not just mm-hmm. models. It's just, like, anyone. It's like anyone is caught up in some sort of like, just I guess their own reality. Like, it comes down to that, and whatever it looks like for you. And we're in this reality where it's just like, we haven't really had like a strong need for us to be like super needed in the workforce because we've been rewarded on our looks. It's kind of taboo, but I think about it because like it's helped me in ways, like doing modeling for sure. But at the same time, like, how has it probably also really hurt me in my evolvement of in terms of, like, what else I would have done, you know, if I didn't have this crutch where I get to do nothing?
Yeah.
We're not doing anything. Modeling isn't anything. As much as you want to, like, say, even, like, top models, like, even if you're literally the top model, it doesn't. It's an art if you're a performer. Like, if you're a good model, you're performing. Mm-hmm. So that takes skill to a degree, a little bit of talent to be really good at it. And that's kind of all I would say. It doesn't really take much thought. I wouldn't say it takes thought. I wouldn't say it takes like real intelligence, just performing ability. So I don't know. It's just kind of like an interesting thing of like, maybe this is why, you know, I at least take it into consideration. So I break out of it, you know?
Yeah, no, I that is definitely like a huge part of the reason why a lot of the models, you know, don't really do anything on the side because like you don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I mean, so I think it could be someone's passion. Like, I think that there's girls who are very passionate about modeling and mm-hmm. they show up and like they have, you know, they contribute their ideas and they feel like fulfilled in that. But I think kind of being thrown into it and like learning to love it is different than like it being something ingrained in you that like is your passion that you like love mm-hmm. to do. And like also, I think both of us like had to learn to kind of like even get used to like having our photo taken and like being comfortable with strangers every day and like all the judgment and stuff that comes from with it. But I know, it's like now all of a sudden I'm 25 and like my creative side has been like put on pause.
You just get comfortable. This is like at least a voice in my head that I'm just like now bringing out loud, but of just kind of like stop being a lazy model. Maybe you don't work that. Maybe you're lazy because of this, and this. Like, maybe take it in consideration because it's probably true. I don't know. This is what I say to myself. You don't obviously have to listen to it. It's pretty mean, but
also like maybe the flip side, like a softer and like see yourself as a painter or an artist. Like, mm-hmm. just like think of that as your identity, not like something that's like on the side. It's like, I'm a model, I'm a painter, I'm a this. And then yeah. you do stuff that affirms your identity.
That's an interesting way to put it. Like, if, like, we see ourselves as models because that's like what we do mainly, and like usually you don't consider yourself like your hobbies or like what you like love. That's just a part of who you are. But like we're like oh, like what do? I model. But you don't typically say like you have multiple jobs at this point. Like, you're a model and an actress.
Yeah,
and you have a podcast.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
I have two full-time jobs, which is podcasting and modeling. Mm-hmm. And then I audition as well.
You consider podcasting like a full-time
it's job? It's so time-consuming. It's a full-time job. It's actually, like, so insane. I didn't think it was going to be this time-consuming. I'm, like, way in over my head. The fact that I have to do this forever is crazy. I have two full-time jobs, for sure. But that's the thing. I would say kind of this... I respond, though... better, me personally. And I actually have learned kind of as I've gotten older, this is something I had to learn. It's not everyone's the same. Like, my best friend from my hometown, Sophie, whenever we get in arguments, like, which is like pretty rarely, but when we do, I'm always coming in so hot where I'm just like, so like, I say exactly what I'd be like, this is not like, she can be kind of messy, and I'll be like, that's actually what we fight about most of the time. It's just, she's ridiculously messy, and I'm just like, you can't, like, no, like, you, like, if you're at someone's house, like, oh, for a period of time, like, you have to clean up after yourself. Like, we've known each other since we were kids, like, so we can say to this to each other at this point. And she'll be like, I don't respond well to that. Like, I do not. And I've something I've had to learn, because that's how I talk to myself, you know, of I respond well to being reprimanded and like kind of a harsh criticism and a critic. I don't respond well to being like, this is the path, you should be really nice to you. I don't respond.
Like, sugarcoating.
I don't respond well to that. I don't. I want to know the cold, hard facts and the truth, and I want it to be told in the meanest way. I'm not kidding. It really works for me, and then I have to remind myself it doesn't work for everyone. But that is something. Like, I wouldn't, like, tell myself I'm an actress. I wouldn't say that to myself, because I have to be successful enough in my head to call myself that. Like, I would have to book a certain amount of things. Like, I would be way crueler. I don't know. But that's how I deal with it. Sam's approach is kind and sweet. And, like, you can look at yourself like that. And if that works, like, I am all, everyone's, every single person on this planet's different.
It will be hard at first, because you don't have a lot of evidence to support it. Like, they say it when you, like, are trying to quit smoking. Instead of being, like, someone who's like, hey, do you want to smoke? It's like, no, I'm trying to quit. You just say, no, I don't smoke. And, like, it will seem like you're a lunatic at first, because your friend will be like, dude, you were smoking last night. Like, no, but I don't smoke now. Like, you don't have a lot of evidence to support it. But as you go on, you accumulate it.
Mm-hmm. I think that you, like... should lean into your creative side more. And like, that's the thing, is like, why I brought up the whole modeling thing in the first place is because, like, there's no desperate need. Why would you know, like, you need something to fuel you, you know? We just get comfortable. So many models do, and you're it's just like being in the situation you are. And if anyone watching this thinks that they would be different, you'd get comfortable too. It's just how it is. You respond to your reality. That's how it works. Everyone responds to the reality. You go to prison, you respond to that reality. Everyone's a victim of their circumstance to a degree. There's personal, what's the word? Personal accountability, of course. And I definitely believe in that a lot, which is why you can change it at any point. But you also get comfortable, and you adapt to your surroundings, and you adapt to how you're treated. And if you're treated a certain way your whole life, and you've never needed this strong need to get in the workforce or, like, change your whole, like, outcome of your life, not going to do it, you know?
Yeah. I think everybody has different, like, levels that they're born with of, like, determination and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like I have been the kind of person who's always just been like, yeah, I'll figure it out. Like, so sure about that. But, like, don't have any sort of self-discipline whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very easy on myself.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm like, oh, I've had a rough week, I'm just not going to do anything this week because I need that. Like, you don't need to have that mindset, but I'm like, that's just like what I tell myself because I can get away with it at this point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if I was in a situation where I couldn't take off a week and, like, had a 9-to-5 job, and you'll lose your job if you don't do that, like, I don't know who I would be. Maybe it's because this is what I've been doing for almost 10 years. So, like, I'm just in this mindset now. Don't have enough pressure.
You don't have any pressure. That's the problem. You know what I mean? Like, because I felt the same way. That's why I know you feel that way to a degree. I felt no pressure at all. I was, like, coasting through life. Literally coasting through life. That's what modeling is. This is me again. I can't help, actually, but be harsh about it. Because this is how... I literally can't. I'm trying to stop, and I can't. I, like, literally can't. But I... Because that's what I respond to. I said it once. I'll say it again. But I think it's good to find a way to give it to yourself. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, whether it's fear of regret or it's... That's mine.
Mine's fear of regret, too. That's like, the thing that... That's
what motivates me, is fear of regret. Some people are motivated by power. Having the most power in the world, having the most money in the world. I'm not money driven. I've never been money driven. I actually, that's something that probably hurts me in my life, is the fact that I don't really care to make like the most amount of money. I actually just have never really cared about that. And my podcast company could tell you, they hate me. But it's good to give yourself something to fuel you, to propel you. And if it's nothing, if you have no pressure, I didn't have strict parents either. You know, a lot of people are fueled by wanting to make their parents proud or wanting to live up to their parents' unrealistic expectations. Or there's their brother's a doctor and their parents were all doctors and you have to be one too. Like, I didn't have that. I have no pressure on me. And then I was given this life of being a model, and same with you. Where it's just like, here's a life of never having to work. And what? The quintessential retirement plan for modeling quintessentially is marrying someone. That's, I've heard agencies say that. Where they go, a girl, like a famous model, I remember this old agency I was with, retired, or not retired, she married this guy, this like billionaire, millionaire, whatever. And they're like, oh yeah, she just did the, and they were so candid about it. Oh, she just did the classic model retirement plan, you know, marry a billionaire. And I heard that and I was just like, this is what people think of models. But it's kind
of
true.
It's true for a lot of people.
It's true for a lot of people. That's like all. So we don't have. And that's. And I'm not here saying like there's something wrong with like just being a mom. For a long time, that's all I wanted to do too, was just be the best mom and not have a career. Like, I just didn't think that. I thought that's all I wanted to do, was just be the best mom ever. But I think it's good to make yourself like push yourself. You know, and like find a reason to do it. And if you feel like, no, we've had conversations like similar where we like kind of like talk about like motivating each other.
Yeah.
Or like getting to do something, like, you know.
You'll like tell me about your like acting classes and what you learned, and I'm like taking notes. I'm, like, have a little notepad out. And I'm,
no, because
like,
I want you
be
to
be brave.
Because I want you to come. I really want you to come.
I know it's one of those things. I know I need to because it makes me so deeply uncomfortable, but that's why I need to do it.
Yeah.
It's like, just be, that's such a vulnerable thing. Like, I'm at the point where modeling now is like, it's just so normal that like when I show up and like I'm in front of a camera in that way, it's not, I don't even think twice about it. But like when the second someone's like, oh, like we're going to do a little video portion, my whole demeanor changes. Like, it's crazy. It's like, it's literally the same thing. And like, I can do that. I've done commercials and stuff, but like the amount of like stress that I feel inside the second that situation slightly changes, I'm like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand why.
Yeah. Then maybe it's not for you, and that's also totally okay. You know what I mean? Like, that might just not be your thing.
Yeah.
And like, your thing might be being completely immersed into art and painting. You know, and like illustration, you know, like maybe you'd be a really great, this, the reason why I'm like, I'm so like on this case is because my point is like, there's more to you than just being pretty. And that's what modeling is. It's like, all you are is being pretty. And I know there's like more to every single girl. And like, what if we never did modeling? What would we actually be good at that uses like who we actually innately are, with our skill set, with our passions that we innately have? And so I'm just curious, like, because you are like a multifaceted person. Like, you actually are. It's just, you just don't feel pressure to do anything with it, which is like a lot of people, a lot of like trust fund kids feel no pressure. And I would say the same thing to them. Well, like, it's probably because you're a trust fund kid. It's probably because you're a model. I've said the same thing to myself. It's like, get up off your ass, feel pressure. I don't know. Sorry if I'm like acting crazy. This is just what I say to myself.
You're not acting crazy.
Okay, good. But it's true. I don't know. I just, like, I'm fine with saying the truth. Honestly. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about it. It's like, maybe that's true. Maybe that is true. That's maybe why you haven't felt the need to, like,
no, yeah,
to
it work, is.
You know?
Yeah, it definitely is. I've even been given the opportunity to, like, make money off of art. Mm-hmm. And still, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that for sure. This is, like, something that I've wanted since I was a kid. Like, that probably is the one thing that's been consistent of all my, like, career paths that I've had in mind for myself. But then I'm, like, opening the door to take a hobby and turn it into a job. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that stops sounding fun. And it sounds like something. Now I'm going to have to paint this thing. I'm going to have to make 12 of something to put in a gallery. And, like, then it, I don't know. It's like I'm afraid of real work. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's the mindset I have to change.
Totally.
Wow, it sounds so lame.
No, it doesn't. I think a lot of people are going to relate to feeling like that, especially at one point in their lives. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I think except the people that are, like, type A, like, come out of the womb driven and ambitious, which is a lot of people, but, like, I don't relate to them. I'm, like, really inspired by you guys, though. You guys are fucking sick. Like, for real. I, like, wish
I could be half. Yeah, like, I wish I had some. Yeah.
I wish I had 5% of you. But I'm the same as you. Like, so unmotivated, so didn't want to work, so didn't want to do it. Literally the definition of a slacker. Definition. Did mm-hmm. not, like, literally. So I've said horrible things to myself to wake myself up and be like, get up off of your ass. You don't work because you're a fucking model. Like, I say all this shit, so I wake up. Mm-hmm. I think that's fine.
If it works for you.
It works for me.
I don't know if it's, like, modeling or...
For me, it's modeling. At least that I know that's the reason
I think it's, like, what modeling's given you. Like, I think it's that you have security in a lot of different ways.
What do you mean?
Like, you can make money off your Instagram. If you wanted to quit modeling today, you probably could and make mm-hmm. a living off of, like, TikTok and Instagram and stuff like that. And now you have a podcast because of the platform that modeling's given mm-hmm. you, and people are interested in what you have to say. So I think it's maybe more, because, like, there are models who do wake up every single day, you know, bright and early and go to castings all day and do test shoots all day and make very little money and, like, have to work very hard to even, like, pay rent.
No, totally.
So there's different, like, levels to modeling. And, like, I think that we've both just gotten to the point where we can be comfortable. So I think it's
that's a good point of, like, there is that aspect of model. And that's the thing is, like, when you're in New York, like, that is kind of what you're doing. You go to castings every single day.
Yeah.
Or you have days where you have no castings mm-hmm. or you have, like, two weeks where you don't work at all and your friends want to go on a trip and you can go because you don't have a 9-to-5. So, like, regardless of the, there's still so much free time in it. And that allows so much, just freedom. Like, just blatant freedom. I think it's just, like finding something that motivates you.
Yeah.
We need to find it. We need to get to the bottom of this.
No, I think, like, I do have things that motivate... No, yeah, I need to find something that motivates me, like, to the degree of, like, maybe making it a priority outside mm-hmm. of modeling. Like, with the amount of time off I have, like, to be, like, this is my job today because I don't have modeling.
To a degree, like, to do make that step, it's, like, changing your life, you know? So it's not just, like... I'm going to, like, try for a period of time and then, like, quit again, you know, because that's what it can be. It's more so just, like, that's deciding, like, to be a different person, mm-hmm. you know, is what it kind of really is. It's that kind of decision. You have something consistent, which is you love to illustrate. Mm-hmm. That's, like, there's something there. You know what I mean? I just know you have so much to offer the world. Like, you actually do. You're so good at painting. You're so good. Not everyone's good at that. Some people are creative and not good at that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I like that you just, like, have so much to offer. You could also just be, like, you could maybe not use, if you don't want to do illustration, you could use, like, your people skills. You could be, like, a really great, like, this is, like, a random job, but, like, if you have really good people skills and empathy for people, you could be, like, a social worker. You could be, like, a really great guidance counselor. Like, that would give me purpose, that kind of, mm-hmm. that kind of talk. Job. So maybe that doesn't speak to you, but or sound interesting, but it would be a really cool job, you know, like those kinds of things. Like, there's so many things beyond, like, just modeling that you could do.
Yeah.
I think. And I think you know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've just been waiting for, like, the time in my life that I feel motivated to do it. And mm-hmm. like, I think I've told you this before, like, been so focused on, like, love. Like, that's, like, the number one, like,
yeah.
thing that drives me, determines my mood day by day. Like, I've, like, always been, like, a relationship type of person. And, like, whether I'm, like, single or not, like, I'm thinking about, like, who I'm going to end up with. Like, that's, like, what, in my mind, like, I think about when I think of what my life looks like. I'm, like, I'm not even thinking about, like, what I'm doing as a job at that point. I'm just thinking, like, who am I going to be with that, like, makes me really happy, and like we get to do all these like fun things together. Like I want to mm-hmm. like I see like things that I want to do with like a family and stuff like that, kind of similar to you, like being a mom.
Yeah,
but
no
that, yeah, I don't know, like in 5 years what
yeah
it
that's like having start no having Scarlett as my friend, I think we were like literally opposites in this way, because I learned so much from you being my friend, and like you as someone who like leads by going around, by going like how do I phrase it, like you lead your life guided by love, essentially is what you're saying. And I don't, like I'm so analytical and so avoidant that I don't mm-hmm. love is the last thing I'm thinking about, like literally bottom of the list. If it happens, it happens, don't care. And so it's so cool having someone with like a genuine different perspective that I probably should hear, you know, of like, here's the other argument and here's the other, like, it's nice. Like even when you date people, you see like how another person does life, you know, it's yeah. cool seeing how another person does life and like how they look at the world and how they like perceive everything and what they prioritize and what they don't, you know? And it's nice like having you like your perspective around, because it like, you've like taught me so many things like along the way of like, no, this is normal, Charlotte. Or like if it weren't for Scarlett on my life, like I don't think I ever would have had like even a thing with a guy. Like I would have been out of there so fucking quick. Scarlett's like been like literally sat me down before and been like, Charlotte, like all guys can be like this. Like don't worry, like this is fine, you're over dramatic. And I'm like, okay.
You're gonna be disgusted many times throughout your relationship. Like there's never gonna be a guy that is like cool all the time. Yeah. You're gonna have to get used to seeing someone like be uncool, and you stop being like fazed by it. You kind of just like, oh, like that's a person that like is lame sometimes. Yeah. And like that's okay. But mm-hmm. like obviously you like that shouldn't be like how you see them. Like you're like, you don't want to see them as like a lame person. You're not going to want to be with a lame person, but like yeah. there's things that you're going to give you, they're going to give you the ick.
No, you like really like ground me in that way. Like you like give me a real reality check where you're like, no, this is how it works. Like this happens. Like,
yeah,
I remember you telling me that. But honestly, I do credit you and Tessa for helping me with like every like situation that I've been in with guys where I'm like
forcing you to like stick around.
Yeah.
Just so that you have an experience. It's not no, even like this could be the love of your life, don't lose them. It's like, no, probably not. Yeah. Like it's just like stick around for the experience, yeah. so that you can like, you learn. This is yeah. one little thing you've learned about them. It doesn't yeah. mean like, oh, this is not the right person now because they did something I didn't like.
Yeah.
Like it's
no, that's yeah. that's for real so cool, because you, I've noticed this about you, which is like, this is where I notice it the most. Like our differences, but it's nice having friends with different perspectives. Like I think that's actually really important. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's vital actually. But you like, as soon as you're in like a relationship with, if you feel a spark in chemistry with someone, you kind of like no, this isn't supposed to be in a bad way. I actually kind of, it's just the opposite of me. You kind of like ignore the red flags, but in a way. Like, the reason why I think it's cool is because as someone who does the opposite, like, you have lived so many more experiences than me, like, with all of these romantic partners, like, not, like, people you've
got a lot of experiences.
Scarlett's been in, like, three, like, serious relationships, like, now on her third, so this, I'm being insane. That was the wrong way to say it, but, all of her lovers. But even still, like, and then obviously, like, there's people, like, in between that you don't, like, quite date, which is life. Like, that's everybody, yeah. actually. But
you, like, test the waters.
Yeah. That's also fun in itself. But I like that you literally, I can tell, are guided by only your heart. And, like, though, and, like, you're okay with, like, it's the most, like, fearless thing you could do. Like, it's like courageous what you do, because you're like, I don't care if I get fucking hurt. I don't care if I cry this, that, and I'm like devastated. And like, that's like the true like courage, is like being okay with like it not working out, and like being okay with like possibly them fucking you over, and like just surrendering to that. So I think that's really cool that you're able to do that. And like, part of me, like, I see that, and you like have like, you're always in love, like not always, but like you're oftentimes in love. That's cool. That's really cool. No, I'm serious. Like, that's really cool. And like, I think that's like, I think that's so important to like just have around you. And so I like am like appreciative that I just like have a friend that like gives me this like really like sincere approach to like love. And like, she's just like so brave, and you wear your like heart on your sleeve, and it's just so like brave to me, and I think it's really cool. And I'm going about it in the way that's like scared and like avoidant, and just like, I don't really need it. And like, it's nice having someone that's just like fears nothing and like just goes in head first and like is okay with what goes down. I think it's cool.
Thanks.
Do you not agree?
I think that there's a lot of like self-sabotage that comes along with it, but at the same time, I think that's in one way that I live like without, like I live based off of like fear of regret. Like, I will literally run a relationship into the ground. Like, as you know, like I was with someone for 3 years and then with someone for 4 years almost like very soon after, and that's a long time. Like, I haven't been single for 7 years, and I really stuck it out for like over a year of being single. But still, I would like fall in love every day. Like, when I was single, like I just see like I think I just like see like the good in everybody. Like, I don't know if that's like if I choose to see the good in everybody, or like if it just like comes naturally, where I'm just like, or everyone's like a romanticized version of themselves when I first meet them.
I love that.
And that doesn't last very often. But if it does, even for a little bit, then I'm like, no, there's something here. There's potential. I don't want to like lose someone who could be like the love of my life, even if I'm pretty sure it's not.
That's funny.
But yeah. So I just like stick it out. And it's nice, obviously, to be on, to have your perspective as well. Like, the same way you need my perspective, like I need yours. And like, you can, you try to keep me grounded. Like, you try to make me see.
Nothing's worked, actually.
No, I don't think anything has. I just have to, like, learn by experience. Like,
I look at you like you're, like, my daughter. Like, only in the sense of, like, I have two friends of mine, Scarlett and my friend Sophie from my hometown, that, like, literally bring me to tears because of how much I love them.
It's starting.
And I literally have like such a pure, like, I just love Scarlett, like she's my, I'm gonna cry. But I literally, I like, I just love you like my daughter, like legitimately. Like, I have something wrong with me. I have something wrong with me. I don't know what it is, but and so I, like, as, like, your mother in my head, I'm like, I just have to let you, because I care, I'm so invested in, like, your issues. Like, whenever you're in a relationship and someone's like, no, I'm like really invested, I really care, that it's like to the point like where I like literally have to have had to been like, you need to step away,
it affects you. Like, I know,
you need to let her make her own decisions. I had to say this to Sophie too, because there's so, I'm, because I want you guys to like not be like annoyed by me, so I'm just like, I just like have to like let it be what it is. And
do you think it's like the protectiveness that makes you feel like it's a mother-daughter relationship? Like, I'm curious about this.
The reason I say mother-daughter is because, like, I think, like, I don't know, like, oh my god, I like hate my fuck, I like have problems, I literally am so sad, like I need help. I think like the reason I say, because I don't know what it's like to like love like a daughter yet, but I think this is like the closest thing. So that's why I say that. Oh my god, I need
that's help. Actually so sweet.
No, but I need, I'm so sorry. But like, that's why, because it's like such a like, oh my god, I need,
I apologize. Yeah,
no, it's just like annoying for me.
like I would like to whatever, but like how am I gonna phrase this, like it's just like I get worried like a mother does. Like I don't know, like it's, I think it's like the closest thing like in my imagination to like what it would feel like to love a kid. Sorry, I like literally have problems. I literally do, but that's why I say that, because like I, because you know when mothers get so worried and like it's like a part of their hearts like out there, it feels like,
yeah,
that. Yeah, I'm cutting this out. You're so
that is the cutest thing I've ever fucking heard in my life. Oh my god.
But yeah,
I mean that probably comes along with like, do you think that's because like me and Sophie both kind of live like we're, what's the phrase, like we kind of just like live by our hearts instead of our minds, so like you fear like the pain that you're afraid of, like you're afraid of us experiencing it.
That's an interesting theory I've never thought about actually. I think partly maybe like I maybe something to take into consideration that I'll think about, but I think it's mostly due to the fact that like Sophie's like my best friend from my hometown, and like I would say you're my best friend here, like to mm-hmm. be honest, you guys are like my two best friends. Sorry to other friends watching. I like, yeah, but and I just like I can't like control like who I like love like that, and like I mm-hmm. just love both of you guys like in a way I don't like love my other friends, and I think it's because I'm like very much like attracted to people's like hearts, like that's the most important thing to me, like yeah, like intelligence, this and that, whatever, or like creativity, it's all like very enticing and like that's also very attractive, but bottom line, like it comes down to people's hearts, like that's the most important thing for me, and you and Sophie just have such good hearts, like you guys are just two really good-hearted people, and that like triggers me, like that like that like touches me, and that like makes me like fully like I think like what it is, like oh my god, I'm so sorry.
Don't apologize.
Is it, no, it's like it's just annoying that like I, even how hard I'm trying not to cry, like can't, and that's annoying that it's out of my control, that's annoying, and that's why it frustrates me. But like I think I have like my, one of my problems like is I have like an attachment problem, I would say, like I don't really attach to many things including mm-hmm. my family. Sorry Sam, I'm trying.
She said oh.
She knows I'm like really trying, and I'm going to get there, and Sam will probably be the first person I do it with, I could see, at least I think so. But I do think Sophie was the first person I actually allowed myself to attach to, because I wanted to attach to something. Mm-hmm. And I think I did it with you too. And I think, I think that's where it comes from, is I hate this, but I think it's like, oh my God, this is so annoying. This is so annoying. This is such an annoying issue to have. You don't understand.
Being emotional, that's like, it's fine.
No, it's just annoying. Like, it's annoying. Like, I would love to be able to stop this. That's what I'm working on.
I don't think you like being out of control.
That's my next skill set that I'm gonna acquire. I can feel. But I think it's just the fact that I've like given both of you guys like I allowed myself to care about you to, I think, the extent that I can, you know. And I think, yeah, I just love like people really deeply, if I allow myself to. And I think I just love you guys like a lot. I think it's what it is.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what that's kind of what you like mean when you say like you feel like a mother like daughter relationship. It's like it's like a family.
Yeah.
Like you feel like.
Well, it's just like I like yeah, like it's just like, yeah, I think it's just like the equivalent of like loving like the closest thing I can imagine is like a daughter. Cause like I don't know if I would like love like my like mom like this, you know, where I'm like worried sick about what's like
yeah,
you know, you don't really worry about like your parents like that, but yeah, it's like the closest thing,
Like, I'm sure I'll love my daughter similarly to, like, you and Sophie.
Aww.
I, like, want to kill myself. Damn. Do I still look fine?
Yeah.
Okay, be honest.
Yeah. You look like you cried a little, that's it.
Cool. But yeah. And it's fine. Like I literally say this to Sophie all the time and she doesn't believe me, but I'm like, there's like no way. This is also the mother-daughter thing. I'm like, there's no chance, and I know this for certain, that you could possibly love me even equal. Because I know that. No, she rolls her eyes too. I don't care. It's something I know. Something I know. And I'm okay with it. I've talked to my therapist about this, and he thinks it's actually really healthy for me. He's like, that's really nice that this is the first, like, you're, like, okay with relinquishing control of loving someone more. And you really believe that you do. And I'm like, yeah, I'm totally fine with it. Like, I'm genuinely, like, this is where I'm happy here. I'm totally cool here. Yeah.
I don't think that's true, but.
It's okay. You have to say that.
I don't have to say that. I mean, I could just be like, that's so sweet. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm also acidic. Sorry.
Yeah, this is definitely. Don't know what to do here now. I'm actually not allowed to love you.
You can't. I can't allow it.
Yeah.
But yeah. What should we, like, close on?
Oh, we're closing?
No, we can keep going.
Let's keep going.
Let's keep going.